It would be a great help to me if you cared to take your Bible and open it at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And I particularly draw your attention to the beginning of the story about the shepherds. Verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord." It seems to me that there is something specially attractive about those shepherds. I wonder if you think the same thing about this story. Apart from the baby, Jesus, who is, of course, the very center of everybody's attention, together with Mary, his mother, and Joseph, apart from them, surely it is the shepherds who are prominent in the story and are high in the popularity stakes. Well, I want to share with you that I personally am so glad that God chose the shepherds to announce to them the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad personally that he didn't give this good news to anybody else. For example, to Augustus, the emperor of Rome, who was prominent in the secular background of the story. Or maybe Quirinius, who was procurator of Syria, the neighboring state to Judea. Or to King Herod the Great, who later found where Jesus was and tried to have him destroyed. Or the high priest in the temple in Jerusalem. Or maybe even the mayor of Bethlehem. God could have chosen any of these to be the recipient of the good news of Christmas Day, but he didn't. He chose no bigwig or celebrity figure. He went to the shepherds, who one might describe as a bunch of nobodies, ordinary blokes like us. I'm so thankful that God chose to do that. Because even the shepherds did not have a very good reputation. They had a bad reputation for dishonesty and even for unreliability. I understand that shepherds in those days were not allowed to give evidence in court because they were regarded as unreliable. So it's all the more astonishing that God should have chosen these shepherds to receive the good news. Now, these shepherds were going about their ordinary business. They were doing what they always did that night. They were making sure that the sheep had access to good pasture and that they were well protected from predatory wolves. So they had no expectation that anything out of the ordinary was going to take place that night. They were taken completely by surprise. In fact, at first, the vision of the angels and of the glory of the Lord and the message of the Savior's birth filled them with terror rather than with joy. And then when the angels had gone as quickly as they had come and the angelic carol service was finished and the hills around Bethlehem were dark and silent again, the shepherds must have wondered if they'd been hallucinating. Rather the same kind of thing is happening today. We may not claim to have seen a vision of angels or to have sensed the glory of the Lord around us, but you know, I'm sure, better than I do that there are many people today who are seeking what they call spirituality. The BBC is running some kind of competition, isn't it? In order to indicate what the main ingredients of so-called spirituality are. And people are claiming to have experienced the transcendent something above and beyond themselves that they can't explain. But then somehow the vision fades, and we wonder if, after all, it was only a dream. Now, the question I want to ask tonight is, what did those shepherds do when the angels had gone? In response to the vision, after the angels and the glory had disappeared, after the first carol ever sung had finished, after the darkness and silence had returned and everything was back to normal again, what happened next? What did their shepherds do? It might be an indication of what we should do, as I hope to show. Well, here is the first thing they did. They went to Bethlehem in order to see for themselves. When the angels had left them and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing which has happened and which the Lord has told us about." So please notice that they didn't laugh off their experience as if it were a hallucination, nor did they accept it without any critical investigation. No, they determined to find out for themselves what had happened. So, if you care to glance down to verse 16, where we are now, and there was a note of urgency in their voices, they hurried off to Bethlehem. And there they found what they were looking for there were Mary, the mother, and Joseph, and there was the baby lying wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I wish, if I may say so, I wish with all my heart that we could learn this simple lesson from the shepherds, namely that the right response to the Christmas story, or indeed to any transcendent experience that you may claim, the right response is neither credulity nor incredulity. It's an open-minded, unprejudiced inquiry. I wish there were among us more of the shepherds' "let's go and see" mentality. I wish there were more willingness among us to move from agnosticism to investigation, and more determination not to depend on hearsay, not to rely on rumor, but to find out for ourselves whether it's true or not. Now, of course, we can't go to Bethlehem as they did. Well, we could, but we wouldn't be much the wiser if we did. So where should we go if we are looking for Christ? You ever asked yourself, I wonder, that question? Because the answer is we should go to the Bible. Luther, the great German reformer in the 16th century, referred to the Bible as the cradle of Christ. That is, if you want to find the baby Jesus, you'll find him in that cradle today, the cradle of Holy Scripture. Indeed, the main purpose of the Bible is to direct people to Christ. We don't seem always to remember that. Jesus himself said so. He said, "The Scriptures bear witness to me." And because they bear witness to him, it's there that we should look for them. I'm often distressed, I must say, by educated and intelligent people who have condemned Christianity unheard, who haven't read the New Testament since they were kids at school, who have never investigated the credentials of the Christian faith and have never read the foundation documents, namely the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament. I ask myself, is that consistent, that cavalier rejection of Christianity without investigation, is that consistent with intellectual integrity? Is it consistent with intellectual honesty? I myself hope and have been praying that the shepherds will challenge us tonight to go and see for ourselves, to investigate for ourselves. Because, you know, there's plenty of evidence to be investigated. There are the stupendous claims of Jesus during his public ministry. Do you know some of them? His claim that only he knew God the Father. Nobody else knew him, he said. Or again, his claim to forgive sins that only God can do. Or again, the claim to come back at the end of history, to sit on the throne of his glory, because the destiny of all humankind was in his hand. He was the judge of all the earth. And then there was this extraordinary combination, have you thought of this, of the self-centered claims of Jesus and the unself-centered behavior of Jesus. That combination is unique. And then there are the historical, circumstantial evidences for his resurrection. All these things and many more deserve to be investigated and not to be rejected in this cavalier way. So Jesus once said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek and you will find, for everybody who seeks finds." And millions of people have found this to be true, and I wonder if there's somebody here who has never found God in Jesus Christ. And is the reason we've never found that we've never sought? Because Jesus promised if we did seek, we would in fact find. So let's accept the challenge to come to the Bible, to read it for ourselves, to investigate these evidences. And this is the special reason why we want to invite some people tonight to join what is called at All Souls Christianity Explored. It's well named, the exploration of Christianity. It's dangerous to start investigating because you might find, and then there would be a great change, I know, in all our lives. And that brings me to the second thing that the shepherds did. First, they went to Bethlehem, and then, verse 17, when they had found the baby, secondly, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about him. Indeed, the truth is that they couldn't keep quiet. They knew that good news is for sharing. So they wanted everybody to know, their family and their friends, their neighbors and acquaintances. Indeed, they wanted the whole world to know. So notice how natural their witness was. The shepherds spread the word concerning the baby. It's rather like the Apostle Peter after the resurrection. The leading Jewish council had forbidden the apostles to teach or preach any more in the name of Jesus. And Peter replied, "We cannot help speaking about what we have heard and seen." And so the shepherds were the same. We shouldn't have to screw ourselves up to speak to other people about Christ. It should be the spontaneous overflow of our hearts. Notice, too, that their witness received different responses. Verse 18, "All who heard the shepherds were amazed at what they said to them." Now, that is always one reaction, a reaction of amazement when we see the truth of these evidences. Doubtless, in due course, they did come to find themselves, but not to begin with. And then verse 19 describes a different reaction, and that's from the Virgin Mary. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. In due course, Mary also came to believe in Jesus. The Gospels tell us that. So we know she did, but she didn't immediately. For her, it was a slower process. She needed time to think, time to ask questions, time to investigate. And of course, there are plenty of people like Mary in the world today. They need time. They don't want to be pressed or pressured in any way. They want to be able to investigate, which is exactly what Christianity Explored is intended to do, to give us the opportunity to think and to ask questions and to reflect. So far, then, we've considered that first the shepherds went to Bethlehem to see for themselves, and secondly, when they had found, they spread the word so that others could enjoy it also. And then thirdly, Verse 20, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. So they returned. They didn't spend the rest of their lives in the stable. They didn't loiter around the manger. They didn't just spread the word locally. They went back to where they'd come from. They returned. They went back to their fields and to their sheep, to their home and their family. But although their home and their job were the same to which they went back, they themselves were not by any means the same. They were new people in an old job. They'd been changed. They were changed men. They were praising and glorifying God. Now the point is that you and I also have to return, even when we found God in Jesus Christ and come, we believe, to know him in a personal way. We have to go back. We have to return back to the same old family, back to the same old friends, back to the same old kitchen and the same old sink. But although we go back to these same old familiar surroundings, we don't go back in the same old way. The discovery of Jesus Christ is a transforming experience. It adds a new dimension to our old lifestyle. As Billy Graham has often said, it puts a light in our eye and a song on our lips and a spring in our step. So what have we learned tonight? For myself, I'm grateful to those shepherds. I admire the sequence of events into which they were caught up. First, they went to see for themselves. Secondly, they spread the word. And thirdly, they returned praising and glorifying God. I wonder if you've noticed, as I said those three points, what the common denominator between them is. I think it is that they saw. First they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see for ourselves. Then when they found him, they spread the word about what they had seen. And then thirdly, they returned glorifying and praising God because of everything that they had seen and heard. Three times to see is mentioned. So, we can't, of course, see Jesus literally or physically, but we can see him with our spiritual eyes. And the Bible is full of people whose eyes have been opened by God to see the truth as it is in Jesus. And this, friends, is the essence of being a Christian. Being a Christian is not just believing certain dogmas or following certain rules and regulations, or being baptized or going to church. Being a Christian is seeing, knowing, and following Jesus, coming to know him in a personal way because our eyes have been opened. So let's remember the word of Jesus, seek and you will find, and put him to the test. How wonderful it will be if Christmas 2004 proved to be a time when you came to see and to follow the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Let's spend a moment in silent prayer, according to our need. Maybe we want to ask God to open our eyes to see the truth as it is in Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, again we thank you with all our hearts that you came from highest heaven to enter our world and become one of us. We are amazed at your humility in doing such a thing. And there are many of us here who want to pray either for ourselves or for others sitting around us, that you will open our eyes that we may see. We ask it for the glory of your great name. Amen.